31 to 61.
And finish the chapter.
Tomorrow night will be the closed book exam, which will begin at 7 o'clock here on the Temple Field. See how many devotees come for the exam.
Okay, so begin with text 31. Shukadev Goswami said,
"When King Satyabrata spoke in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who at the end of the Yuga had assumed the form of a fish, to benefit his devotee and enjoy his pastimes in the water of inundation, responded as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, who can subdue your enemies, on the seventh day from today, the three worlds, Bhu, Bhuva, and Swa, will all merge into the water of inundation. When all the three worlds merge into the water, a large boat sent by me will appear before you. Thereafter, O King, you shall collect all types of herbs and seeds and load them on that great boat. Then, accompanied by the seven rishis and surrounded by all kinds of living entities, you shall get aboard that boat. And without moroseness, you shall easily travel with your companions on the ocean of inundation, the only illumination being the effulgence of the great rishis." So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that we are protected by the Devotees Association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Sava Shastri Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangi, Sava Siddhi Koi. Just by a moment's association of devotee, one can become perfect. So, Krishna consciousness means we need to be always under the association of the devotees, always with the devotees, and always under the guidance of advanced devotees. Now, if we look in the Bible, for example, there's also this story called Noah's Ark, where the ark goes, and Noah put all the animals onto the ark so that they would be protected when the flood came. So it's there in different cultures. In the Bible it's there, in the Bhagavatam it is there. So in the past there has been great floods. According to the Bible, the earth becomes flooded, but according to the Bhagavatam, the universe becomes flooded from the bottom up. It's flooded up. So when it becomes flooded, at that time, then sometimes the devotee, King Satyabrata and the rishis, they go onto the boat, they take all the seeds, all the animals, and they take them all and protect them. And then later on, when the waters go down, then they come again and then they restart the universe. So it's happening again. It's called pralaya. And the acharyas point out there are four types of pralaya. Just shut that door. Four types of pralaya are there. Some are partial devastation, some are total devastation. So different levels of devastation which take place in the universe. Just like tonight there's a big storm. Rain is coming, big 100 kilometer winds. So this is what it's like when devastation comes. Everything becomes very frightening. It says when there is the big pralayas, it said the fire, it burns for 40,000 years from the bottom of the universe. And then it says the rain, the sambhartika clouds, they rain for 40,000 years also. So the universe becomes fully flooded or fully burnt up. So huge devastations. So that's what's happening here. Sometimes the devotees get on the boat and they take all the creatures and the Vedic knowledge to protect things. Any points?
All the creatures includes all the living entities?
Everything. 8,400,000. Anything else? Big storm tonight. It's going to be big. Okay. Then, as the boat is tossed about by the powerful winds, attach the vessel to my horn by means of the great serpent Vasuki, for I shall be present by your side. Pulling the boat with you and all the rishis in it, O king, I shall travel in the water of devastation until the night of Lord Brahma's slumber is over. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
This particular devastation actually took place not during the night of Lord Brahma, but during his day. For it was during the time of Chakshusumanu. Brahma's night takes place when Brahma goes to sleep. But in the daytime, there are 14 Manus, one of whom is Chakshusumanu. Therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that although it was daytime for Lord Brahma, Brahma fell sleepy for a short time by the supreme will of the Lord. This short period is regarded as Lord Brahma's night. This has been elaborately discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. The following is the summary of his analysis. Because Agastya Muni cursed Swayambhu Manu, during the time of Swayambhu Manu, a devastation took place. This devastation is mentioned in the Matsya Purana. During the time of Chakshusan Manu, by the supreme will of the Lord, there was suddenly another Manu, there was suddenly another Pralaya or devastation. This is mentioned by Markandeya Rishi in the Vishnu Dharmottara. At the end of Manu's time, there is not necessarily a devastation, but at the end of Chakshusan Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his illusory energy, wanted to show Satyavrata the effects of devastation. Sridhar Swami also agrees with this opinion. The Lagu Bhagavatamrita says,
thank you. Any points here? So, it is by the will of the Lord that these pralaya, or this devastation, takes place. And each time that he performs this devastation, it has a different purpose. So it explains in this story, now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are two different descriptions that of Matsya Avatar, of Matsya appearing within this world. One is in the Chakshusha Manvantara, and I think is in the Swayambhu Manvantara. So two different incarnations of the Lord. So why does he appear? In the first one, it says that he appears to save the Vedas, to protect them, and he takes the boat. That's what we're hearing about here, where the boat is taken. And the Vedas are kept on the boat so that they pass through the flood. And it describes that Vasuki, who is the huge serpent, which they used to wrap the Mandara mountain, and the demons and the demigods were put on the Mandara mountain. Vasuki is tied to the horn, which is coming off the end of Lord Matsya's nose or snout. So the horn is tied to Vasuki, which is tied to the boat, and then that is carried through the ocean safely by Matsya. So he, in other words, the Lord himself comes to protect the Vedas in this pastime. Second pastime, we discussed last week also, is that it's described earlier in the chapter, and Satyavrata, he wants to have some reciprocation with the Lord. So Matsya appears, and he becomes his guru, actually. He takes instruction from Matsya. So either way, Prabhupada is explaining, the Lord is protecting the Vedas. Either he appears the second time and speaks the Vedas to Satyavrata, or... And the first time he saves the Vedas by carrying them in the boat. So both of these things are the will of the Lord. He creates the flood, because the flood would not normally come. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes it was an untimely flood in the universe, but he wanted to perform some pastime, so then he arranged like that. So whenever the Lord performs his pastime, there is some reason, some lila, so he makes the arrangements, performs his pastime, and then completes his purpose. In this case, to save the Vedas. Any points? You will be thoroughly advised and
favored by me, and because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus, you will know everything about me.
As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Matta Smriti Jnanam Apoham Cha. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramatma is situated in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord reveals himself in proportion to one's surrender to him. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tamstu taiva vajamyaham. In responsive cooperation, the Lord reveals himself in proportion to one's surrender. That which is revealed to one who fully surrenders is different from what is revealed to one who surrenders partially. Everyone naturally surrenders to Supreme Personality Godhead, either directly or indirectly. The conditioned soul surrenders to the laws of nature in material existence. But when one fully surrenders to the Lord, material nature does not act upon him. Such a fully surrendered soul is favored by the Supreme Personality Godhead directly. Mam eva e prapadyante mayam etam taradite. One who has fully surrendered to the Lord has no fear of the mortal material nature. For everything is but an expansion of the Lord's glories. Sarvam kharva ilam brahma. And these glories are gradually revealed and realized. The Lord is Supreme Purifier, Param Brahma, Param Dhamam, Paritram, Param Bhava. The more one is purified and the more he wants to know about the Supreme, the more the Lord reveals to him. Full knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan is revealed to the pure devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:11, Tesa evanam kam partham aham ajnanadam tamah nasayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bhasvataha. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in their hearts, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkest world of ignorance.
Any points here? So Krishna says that when you surrender unto him, that he will give you the jnana deepa. Jnana deep means the torch of knowledge. In other words, you will see things correctly. Well, Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita as it is. You will see the whole world correctly. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, first canto, the seventh chapter, describes that before Vyasadeva, before he wrote the Bhagavatam, he meditated and he saw Krishna and Krishna's energy together. In other words, Maya and Krishna together. This is perfect knowledge. When you can see not just the Lord, but all of his energies and how he relates to his energies. So a devotee, he sees Maya as being Krishna's energy and it is meant to be used in Krishna's energy. Sorry, in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchyate. Yukta Vairagya means that we see Krishna's energy and we use it in his service. And we see Krishna as being a spiritual entity. So that is perfect knowledge. So it's described here that the devotee, he will learn to see like this when he becomes free from Maya. At the moment we see Maya, but then we think Maya is meant for my sense gratification. And therefore we're not free from Maya. But when we see Maya, we think that is meant to be used in Krishna's service, then that is pure vision. That is tattva darshana. That is proper vision. At the moment, we always think, whenever we see Maya, then we think, oh, that is meant for me. That is for my pleasure. Yeah, but that is false. That is the definition of Maya, that which is not. So one who has pure vision, then he sees everything is meant to be used in the service of Krishna. And he never becomes bewildered. Any points?
So that means that if one surrenders, more and more he surrenders, he will be able to use everything in service of Krishna.
Yeah. Anything else? After thus instructing the king, the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately disappeared. Then King Satyabrata began to wait for that time of which the Lord had instructed. After spreading Kusha with its tips pointing east, the saintly king, himself facing the northeast, sat down on the grass and began to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who had assumed the form of a fish. Thereafter, gigantic clouds pouring incessant water swelled the ocean more and more. Thus the ocean began to overflow onto the land and inundate the entire world. As Satyabrata remembered the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he saw a boat coming near him. Thus he collected herbs and creepers, and accompanied by saintly brahmanas, he got aboard the boat. The saintly brahmanas, being pleased with the king, said to him, "O king, please meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava. He will save us from this impending danger and arrange for our well-being." Then while the king constantly meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a large golden fish appeared in the ocean of inundation. The fish had one horn and was 8 million miles long. Following the instructions formally given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the king anchored the boat to the fish's horn, using the serpent Vasuki as a rope. Thus being satisfied, he began offering prayers to the Lord. The king said, "By the grace of the Lord, those who have lost their self-knowledge since time immemorial, and who because of this ignorance are involved in a material conditional life full of miseries, obtain the chance to meet the Lord's devotee. I accept that Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Spiritual Master." You look over.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the Supreme Spiritual Master. The Supreme Lord knows everything about the suffering of the conditioned soul. And therefore he appears in this very world, sometimes personally, sometimes by an incarnation, and sometimes by organizing a living being to react on his behalf. In all cases, however, he is the original spiritual master who enlightens the conditioned souls who are suffering in this material world. The Lord is always busy helping the conditioned souls in many ways. Therefore, he is addressed as Parma Guru Bhavan, the representative of the Supreme Person of Godhead, who acts to spread Krishna consciousness, is also guided by the Supreme Lord. To act properly in executing the Lord's order, such a person may appear to be an ordinary human being, but because he acts on behalf of the Supreme Person of Godhead, the Supreme Spiritual Master, he is not to be neglected and ordinary. It is therefore said, "Acharyam Mam Vijaniya." An acharya who acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be understood to be as good as the Supreme Lord himself. Saksha Daritvena Samasta Saksha Kitta Sada Bhriya Deva Sakti Kintu Pramoya Peyeva Tasya Vandya Durishti Charanarvindam. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur has advised that the spiritual master acting on the Supreme Lord's behalf must be worshipped as being as good as the Supreme Lord. For he is the Lord's most confidential servant in broadcasting the Lord's message for the benefit of the conditioned souls involved in the material world.
What are the points here?
Sometimes the Lord sends representatives to
So Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Krishna is the Adi Guru. Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. Krishna also comes as Lord Chaitanya, which means Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. That Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So, the first expansion of Lord Chaitanya is Nityananda Prabhu, and he is said to be the Adi Guru, or the original Guru. We can say Krishna is the Adi Guru, we can say that Lord Chaitanya is the Adi Guru, but also it is said that Lord Nityananda is the original Guru. So, the Guru comes to enlighten the conditioned soul. So Chaitanya Charitamrita explains there's Chaitya Guru. Chaitya Guru means Guru within the heart. And that is Super Soul, Paramatma. So we are receiving guidance all the time from Paramatma. He is always guiding us from within. And as the devotee becomes purified and advanced, he can take indication from the Super Soul. Just like you know, we've all experienced in our lives, sometimes when you do something wrong, and then your heart begins to beat very quickly. I think all of us have had that experience. So that is Paramatma. He's telling us, stop doing what you're about to do. Do not do this. So sometimes we feel that voice or have that indication from the Super Soul. That is the Chaitya Guru. Now, because we are neophyte devotees, we're not advanced, then we have to have an external guru. For someone who's very advanced, like Srila Prabhupada, he could directly commune with Krishna. And there were pastimes where Prabhupada directly spoke to Krishna. But generally, for most devotees, we need to have an external guru, which means Diksha Guru and Shiksha Gurus. So guru is many, plural. Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam. We say when we chant the prayers to the previous personalities, the great personalities, we say Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. So it means plural. There are many gurus. Many people will help us to become Krishna conscious. So the spiritual master is external, that is Krishna's manifestation. So Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Shakshat Tari Dwena Samasta Shastra. We should see that the Guru is the representative of Krishna. Just like when Prabhupada was sometimes at the airports and devotees would come to see Prabhupada, greet him, and then all the devotees would be offering obeisances to Prabhupada, Dandavas, in the airport. And many people around, they did not understand. So the reporter would ask, why are they offering obeisances? Prabhupada said, I am like a tax collector. So I am collecting the obeisances and then I give them to God, to Krishna. So either way, the conditioned soul becomes purified by surrendering to Guru. Adi Guru, Krishna, Chaitya Guru, within the heart, Paramatma, and the external manifestation. We need the external manifestation because otherwise, on our present level of Krishna consciousness, if we just try to take direction from the spiritual master within the heart, the Adi Guru, the Chaitya Guru, we'll listen to our mind most of the time. We'll think it's the Guru, or it's the Super Soul speaking, but actually it's just the mind speaking. And then we'll say, oh, the Guru told me. Even I've heard devotees say this over the years. Oh, Krishna has told me in my heart. Paramatma has told me. It's not Paramatma, it's the mind. So we have to have an external guru. Because the external guru, you can't say... And that's why, disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam imam raja shio vidu. Krishna says there must be parampara. You must have a living guru. Tadvidi pranipate nao peri prashtena sevaya. Someone you can serve, someone you can inquire from. There must be a living guru. If the guru is not living, then you cannot get direct instruction. Just like people, they have that Ritvik philosophy, that you take initiation from Prabhupada. But then that is not as beneficial because you cannot get direct instruction from Prabhupada. So therefore, you're at a disadvantage. That's why Prabhupada said we must have a living guru. That is the system since Krishna's time. Even Krishna had a guru, Sandipani Muni. Lord Chaitanya had a guru, Ishwara Puri, Prabhupada had a guru, Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur. So why now the civil succession stops? It must continue. Because we need guidance. We need a living guru, someone to correct us when we're wrong. Any points? In hopes of becoming happy in this world, the foolish, conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart. Raj Prabhu.
For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities, which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya or ignorance. Because of a false hope of happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here, Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever this hard knot of false happiness and thus become the Supreme Spiritual Master.
Any points here? So the verse is pointing out that a devotee needs to pray to Krishna to sever our avidya. Why are we in this material world? Now, Rupa Goswami explains Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion. The cause of us being in the material world is avidya. Avidya means ignorance. That's why we're in Maya, the material energy. So how do we come out of ignorance? How do we come out of Maya? We have to pray to Krishna to deliver us. So the devotee prays to Krishna to please deliver. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasati Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. So we pray to Krishna, please deliver me. And how does Krishna respond? By sending the spiritual masters. And the gurus, they assist us to come back out of Maya. So the living entity must have that desire. We must understand we are suffering. If we do not think we are suffering, then we will have no inclination to take to spiritual life. Sanatana Goswami, he asked Lord Chaitanya, Kayami, who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? This is where spiritual life begins. So that is why we take to Krishna consciousness. When the suffering is intense, then we take to Krishna consciousness. And then we pray to Krishna to deliver us from that suffering. And then how does he respond? He sends the gurus. The gurus, they give us guidance and they lead us back to Krishna. Krishna sends us guru, guru takes us back to Krishna. That is a system. But until we pray, then Krishna does not reciprocate. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, until Arjuna says, Shishaste ham sadimam tvam prapanam, until he says, I'm surrendered to you, please instruct me, then Krishna does not say anything. But when he does that, then Krishna says, Asocha nan vasochas tvam. He says, now I will instruct you. He says, Arjuna, you are foolish because you don't understand the difference between the body and the soul. So he gives the instruction, but only after the surrender is there. So when we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will instruct us. When we pray to Krishna, Krishna will deliver us through the spiritual masters. Any points? Okay. One who wants to be free of material entanglement should take to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance, involving pious and impious activities. Thus one regains his original identity, just as a block of gold or silver sheds all dirt and becomes purified when treated with fire. May that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. So, Keshav, you like to read them? First paragraph.
In human life, one is meant to undergo austerity to purify one's existence. So, Kodhyam, Kudu, Chakarina, Satsam, Shri. with contamination by the elements of material nature, one continues in the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, the purpose of human life is to purify oneself of this contamination, so that one can regain his spiritual form and not undergo this cycle of birth and death. The recommended process of decontamination is devotional service to the Lord. There are various processes for self-realization, such as karma, jnana, and yoga, but none of them is equal to the process of devotional service. As gold and silver can be freed from all dirty contamination by being put into a fire, but not merely by being washed, living entity can be awakened to his own identity by performing devotional service. But not by karma, jnana, or yoga. Cultivation of speculative knowledge or practice of yogic gymnastics will not be helpful.
So what are the points here? So Rishabhdev is saying, tapo divyam, one must perform tapasya in devotional service to come to the platform of purification, shuddha sattva, brahma sokyam, which means to taste spiritual bliss, to realize your spiritual identity. There must be tapo divyam, meaning austerity for Krishna's pleasure. And Rupa Goswami explains this, that we cannot advance in devotional service unless devotional service becomes intense. If it's not intense, if devotional service is not intense, the purification is also not intense. And the example is given that when you purify the gold or the silver, you have to put it into the fire. Prabhupada explains this in this section. If you just wash the gold or silver with water when you take it from the earth, it doesn't become purified. It needs fire. Which means there must be intensity. So to purify the devotee, Krishna puts him through the fire of ordeal or purification. So every devotee needs to be purified. Therefore, Krishna makes devotional service intense. And we need to apply ourselves intensely to devotional service. Otherwise, you cannot advance. So Rishabhdev says, tapo divyam, there must be austerity. If there's not austerity, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says that you have to go to the place where they sell Krishna anxiety and buy as much as you can. So there has to be anxiety for Krishna in this material world. In the spiritual world, there's also anxiety for Krishna. But to spread the Sankirtan movement, you have to take up anxiety. Otherwise, you don't get purified. Any points? Okay, I'll read the second paragraph. Mataji, you like to read that?
The word varnam refers to the luster of one's original identity. The original luster of gold or silver is brilliant. Similarly, the original luster of the living being, who is part of the Satchidananda Vigraha, is the luster of Ananda, or pleasure. Ananda Mayo, every living entity has the right to become Anandamaya, or joyful, because he is part of the Satchidananda Vigraha, Krishna. Why should the living being be put into tribulation because of dirty contamination or the material modes of nature? Living entities should become purified in his Swarupa, his original identity. This he can do only by devotional service. Therefore, one should adopt the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described here as Guru Guru, the spiritual master of all other spiritual masters.
That's one of the points here. Anything else?
One can only redeem his Swarupa by devotional service, not by any other means. And only when one receives that, one can win full bliss.
Yeah, Prabhupada explains this in Science of Self-Realization. He says that God consciousness and or Krishna consciousness, or self-realization and God-realization happen simultaneously. So that is our goal. Our goal is to realize Krishna. Prabhupada says the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to see Krishna face to face and to take Krishna by the hand as Mother Yashoda takes him and lead him.
So that is our goal, to see Krishna directly. In order to see Krishna directly, we need to understand who we are spiritually. We have to understand our swarup. Swarupa means our spiritual identity in relationship with Krishna. So a devotee, Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness or God realization and self-realization, they happen simultaneously. You cannot understand Krishna unless you understand who you are. So we have to understand what is our eternal relationship with Krishna. That is the whole point of our sadhana. Rupa Goswami says that sadhana leads to sadhya. Sadhya means perfection. What is perfection? To understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. So we have an eternal relationship with Krishna in one of the three primary rasas. Vatsalya, Madhurya, and Sakya. So in Vrindavan, only those three rasas exist purely. And because we are aiming for Vrindavan, being followers of Lord Chaitanya, we are aiming to enter into Goloka Vrindavan, then our goal is to understand our relationship with Krishna in one of those rasas. So that is the point. That's why we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. If we're chanting, but we're not searching out our eternal relationship with Krishna, then we're not understanding the prima donna, or the point of the chanting, the goal of the chanting, which is to love Krishna. Any points?
So you said that anxiety, we should have anxiety and devotion, that's what it's
called. Yeah.
God wants to accept. So how to get that anxiety?
By taking responsibility to spread the movement. So then you go and start a Bhakti Vriksha program or start some preaching program. Do some preaching. Take some responsibility. Don't let everybody else do the work. And then you just turn up for prasadam. You can do like that, but you won't make much advancement. You have to take responsibility. Then you get recognized by Krishna. Any other points? Do you want to read the last?
Even though we may not have the fortune to contact the Supreme Lord personally, the Lord's representative is as good as the Lord himself, because such a representative does not say anything unless it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore gives the definition of guru. The bona fide guru is he who advises his disciples exactly in accordance with the principles spoken by Krishna. The bona fide guru is he who has accepted Krishna as guru. This is the guru from Vyasa. The original guru is Vyasadeva, because he is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, when everything spoken relates to Krishna. Therefore, guru puja is known as Vyasa puja. In the final analysis, the original guru is Krishna, his disciple is Narada, whose disciple is Vyasa. And in this way, we gradually come into touch with the guru parampara. One cannot become a guru if he does not know what the personality of Godhead Krishna or his incarnation wants. The mission of the guru is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world.
Any points? Good. So without guru we do not get delivered from birth and death. Prabhupada points this out in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Theoretically you could go back to Godhead without initiation. Theoretically. But you'd have to be very advanced. You can go back to Godhead just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But you'd have to be very advanced. So then Prabhupada said practically that's not the category that anyone fits in. So therefore everyone needs to have a spiritual master. You have to take initiation. That's how you go back to Godhead. So you need to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. If we can follow the minimal level of requirement, which is minimal level is to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. Then we can go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, it's not possible. So it requires the mercy of the spiritual master. It requires to be trained under the guidance of the spiritual masters. And when we're trained under their guidance, then we can progress in Krishna consciousness. We can realize Krishna. To do it by ourselves, it's not possible, actually. Possible if you're very special, but generally it's not possible. We need the mercy of the spiritual master. We need to be trained. We need to be taught. And we need to be purified by serving the Guru. Then we'll become qualified to serve Krishna. Any points? Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even one ten thousandth of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter at your lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu.
Please say, Tano is people in general, being motivated by material desires, worship the demigods to get fruitive results very quickly. People generally do not become devotees of Lord Vishnu, since Lord Vishnu never becomes the order supplier of his devotee. Lord Vishnu does not give the devotee benedictions that will create a further demand for benedictions. By worshipping the demigods, one may get results, but as described in Bhagavad Gita, antavattu phalam desham tat bhavati alpa medasam. Whatever great benedictions one may achieve from the demigods are all temporary. Because the demigods themselves are temporary, their benedictions are also temporary and have no permanent value. Those who aspire for such benedictions have a poor fund of knowledge. Tat bhavati alpa medasam. The benedictions of Lord Vishnu are different. By the mercy of the Lord Vishnu, one can be completely freed from material contamination and go back to Godhead. Therefore, the benedictions offered by the demigods cannot compare to even the 1,000th of the Lord's benedictions. One should not therefore try to obtain benedictions from the demigods or false gurus. One should aspire only for the benedictions offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Vraja Aham Twam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayami Masaja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is the greatest benediction.
The points here?
One should always worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, as we had in the verse, Akam Sarva Dharma Moksha Kamam.
So, if you want the highest benediction, then the only person that can award that benediction is Krishna. And what is the highest benediction? It is to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, to attain pure devotional service in the association of the Lord. Only Krishna can give you that. No demigod can give you that. The devas, the devatas, the demigods, they can give you material benedictions, but none of them can grant liberation. It even says that Lord Shiva, who is the most powerful Mahadeva, he is the most powerful of all the gods, but he can also not give liberation. Only Krishna can deliver us from birth and death. So we have to analyze in our heart, what do we want? do we want to attain Krishna's devotional service, or do we want some material benefit or benediction? So according to what we desire, that's what we will achieve. So if you want something less, then you will approach a demigod, and the demigod can give you some material benediction. Beautiful wife, or handsome husband, or children, or house, or wealth, or knowledge, or all these things. But if you want spiritual benediction, then you have to approach Krishna. No one else can deliver you. So only Krishna can take you back to the spiritual world. So Bhagavatam has said, only worship Krishna. Don't worship other personalities. Even if you want the other things, still worship Krishna. Because fifth canto says, if you worship Krishna, he will give it to you, but not in the way that you will ever want it again. He'll give you material things, but in such a way that you'll forget it. So we should worship Krishna under all circumstances. Any points?
So at this point of time, can we understand two more faith, you know, I want the kingdom rather than my great grandmother's kingdom. And when the Lord wants it, it's like a broken glass.
That's the example of approaching Krishna for wealth. You want something material, and you approach him. But at least he approached Krishna and got purified. That's the point. As a blind man being unable to see accepts another blind man as his leader, people who do not know the goal of life accept someone as a guru who is a rascal and a fool. But we are interested in self-realization. Therefore, we accept you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as our spiritual master, for you are able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun.
The conditions of being wrapped in ignorance and therefore not knowing the goal of life accepts a guru who can juggle words and make a display of magic that is wonderful to a fool. Sometimes a foolish person accepts someone as a guru because he can manufacture a small quantity of gold by mystic use of power. Because such a disciple has a poor fund of knowledge, he cannot judge whether the manufacture of gold is the criterion for a guru. Why should one not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, from whom unlimited numbers of gold mines come into being? Aham sarvasya prabho mata sarvam pravartate. All the gold mines are created by the energy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, why should one accept a magician who can manufacture only a small portion of gold? Such as gurus are accepted by those who are blind, not knowing the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata, however, knew the goal of life. He knew the Supreme Person of Godhead, and therefore he accepted the Lord as his guru. Either the Supreme Lord or his representative can become a guru. The Lord says, Mam yevaye prabhyante, mayam yetam tarante. One can get relief from the clutches of maya as soon as he surrenders unto me. Therefore, it is the Guru's business to instruct his disciple to surrender to the Supreme Person of Godhead if he wants to relieve from the material clutches. This is a symptom of the Guru. Symptom of the Guru. This same principle was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yara Deka Tarakaro, Krishna Upadesha. In other words, one is advised not to accept a Guru who does not follow the path of instruction given by Lord Krishna.
Any points?
The world is full of cheaters, and people want to be cheated, so they will get cheaters.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because Prabhupada, there's even a purport where he says we almost become despondent, we'll lose our enthusiasm when we see there's so much Mayavad philosophy on the earth. Very difficult to preach because everyone's practically Mayavad, either in the West or in the East. Very difficult for people to understand that God is a person and that that person is Krishna. So people want to be cheated. People don't want to surrender to God, to Krishna. They want to become God or enjoy their senses separate from God. So therefore it's very difficult for people to surrender. So basically we have cheaters, we have cheating gurus who are presenting don't surrender to Krishna, become one with God or become God or enjoy your senses unlimitedly. Or and simultaneously we have people who want the wrong thing. It's very difficult for people to take to devotional service. So if Prabhupada says there is a devotee on every corner. And when you walk down the street, on every corner there's one devotee standing there out of a crowd. So you have to find the person and bring them to Krishna. Because certain people have that realization. Because they've suffered in the material world, they realize they should surrender. And Krishna makes that arrangement. He leads them to the devotees. But most people, they just want something false. Even when you offer them the real thing, Krishna consciousness, still they want some other false god or some false idea or something like that. Sense gratification. Any points? A materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. And because of such instructions, the foolish disciples continue in the materialistic existence of ignorance. But your lordship gives knowledge that is eternal. And the intelligent person receiving such knowledge is quickly situated in his original constitutional position. My Lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone, the dearmost friend, the controller, the supersoul, the supreme instructor, and the giver of supreme knowledge and the fulfillment of all desires. But although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that most people in this material world are covered by lust. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, samudbhava. So, Prabhupada says, public enemy number one, Mr. Lust. So lust is the number one enemy of the public. Everyone is controlled by lust, by the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, the only remedy is to take shelter of a guru who can prescribe you the right prescription or the right knowledge to overcome your lust, the right process. Therefore, we need spiritual master. Because every devotee has lust in the heart. So the spiritual master will engage us according to our nature to purify that material desire. So everyone needs a guru. Just like we need a doctor. If we're sick, we need Kaviraj. We need a doctor to treat us. So the spiritual master will treat every devotee and give him the right instructions so that he becomes purified from lust. Because that is the same disease that all of us have. The desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Any points?
So, spiritual master,
purified if you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regular principles. So, what's the point?
No, but we have to take additionally.
Then you need additional instructions. That's the general instruction. The guru will give you special instructions. He won't give you and I the same instruction because we're different. So, general instructions, then specific instructions. So, any other point?
So, eating prasad and food.
What do you think? Because you said the wrong thing in the beginning. Because you said eating prasad. Prabhupada said not eating, honoring prasad. So if you're eating too much, it means you're not honoring prasad. Prasadam has to be taken in a particular consciousness. We honor Krishna's prasadam. If you honor Krishna's prasad, you won't overeat. That's the system.
Except if you are in general.
Yeah, in Puri. In Puri, you give permission. And also, Prabhupada says on feast days, when there's a feast, then Lord Chaitanya would encourage the devotees to eat up to the neck. So you can do that once a week. Prabhupada said once a week you can lose control of your senses. Enjoy yourself. But then the rest of the week you have to control. Prabhupada said if you eat, just because you think, oh, that's nice, sumptuous, but, and then you take more and more, he said, that is sense gratification. Even though it's prasadam, it's sense gratification. The prasadam is pure, but you are not pure. And then you will lose control of your senses. Okay. Any other point? O Supreme Lord, for self-realization I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions, exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart and let me know the destination of my life. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when Satyavrata had thus prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a fish, the Lord, while moving in the water of inundation, explained to him the absolute truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead thus explained to King Satyavrata the spiritual science known as Sankhya Yoga, the science by which one distinguishes between matter and spirit, in other words, Bhakti Yoga, along with the instructions contained in the Puranas, the old histories, and the Samhitas. The Lord explained himself in all these literatures. While sitting in the boat, King Satyavrata, accompanied by the great saintly persons, listened to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in regard to self-realization. These instructions were all from the eternal Vedic literature, Brahma. Thus the king and the sages had no doubt about the absolute truth. At the end of the last inundation, during the period of Swayambhu Manu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead killed the demon named Hayagriva and delivered all the Vedic literatures to Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma awakened from sleeping, King Satyavrata was illuminated with all Vedic knowledge by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, and in this period he has now taken birth as Vaivaswata Manu, the son of the sun god. This story concerning the great king Satyavrata and the fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from the reactions of life. One who narrates this description of the Matsya incarnation in King Satyavrata will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled, and he will undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who pretended to be a gigantic fish, who restored the Vedic literature to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleep, and who explained the essence of Vedic literature to King Satyavrata and the great saintly persons. Thus then, the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. So, that is our last class for this year. Next year, by Krishna's mercy, we'll begin the 9th canto, first week of February. So tomorrow night is your closed book exam, for those who are doing it. Begins at 7 o'clock here in the theatre. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.